You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I guess Donald Trump blinked. Reciprocal tariffs off, but the trade war with China accelerating at a ferocious clip. It looks like U.S. tariffs on Chinese-based products now going to start topping nearly 125%, doubling the cost of those tariffs. I sort of watched with one eye closed from last night to this morning and continuing through the day, the notifications coming in on my phone and the headlines that kept breaking. Just focusing on some of the headlines since last night from the New York Times, these things, including the Trump administration has now slapped, President Trump's latest tariffs took effect, hitting nearly all U.S. allies and sending governments around the world scrambling. That was last night. Not used to being ignored, Wall Street billionaires are bursting with anger as the Trump tariffs cause wild market swing. China announced an additional 50% tariff on U.S. imports, matching the extra charge President Trump had imposed on China. That was this morning, 6 a.m. S&P opens down after stocks in Europe and Asia continue to fall, the escalating trade war hitting government bonds. The EU approves counter tariffs against the U.S. on a range of manufactured goods and farm products. And they just keep coming all day long. I just want to remind everybody, it's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way. And here's what we've been talking. I introduced this on Monday. I spent more time talking about it yesterday. The only way to make any of this make any sense is with two explainers. And one is it's Donald Trump consolidating power or, you know, feeding his ego with power. And also it is going to make Donald Trump richer and billionaires richer, which is why I think you saw Donald Trump blink today. His billionaire bros we're getting ticked off. Hey, we're not going to make as much money. We don't like all this volatility. His polls were in the complete crapper. So his power was seemingly getting diminished. And so what did he do? He changed course. We'll see what comes next. But this is not the way economic policy is supposed to unfold. And just as a gut check here, Jimmy Carter added $25 billion to the U.S. deficit. Ronald Reagan added $74 billion, which seemed really bad at the time, but nothing compared to Donald Trump. H.W. Bush, $102 million. Bill Clinton reduced the deficit by $383 billion, leaving the budget actually in a surplus. We used to have a surplus when he left office. G.W., well, he added $1.5 trillion to the deficit. Obama got the deficit back down to about $585 billion, meaning he reduced it by $825 billion. Trump added $2.1 trillion to the deficit, if not more. Joe Biden reduced it by just shy of $1 trillion. And in all of this chaos and in all of this turmoil, what did Donald Trump tweet out today? Do you think he called up Quentin Tarantino? Because all he had to say was, be cool. That was his tweet on whatever the heck Truth Social is. Be cool, honey bunny. Be cool.
Be cool, honey bunny. Be cool.
That's pretty insane. And now JP Morgan Chase has adjusted their recession prediction to northwards of 80%. Oh my gosh. We are in a full-blown trade war. This is a momentary pause. Again, the pause on the reciprocal tariffs, that did not include a pause on the trade war with China. It is going to get really, really bad before it gets better, in my opinion. Let's recall what Donald Trump was saying just this Monday night at a fundraising dinner. Cal, let's go to cut 13.
Because that's going to be, and I really think we're helped a lot by the tariff situation that's going on, which is a good situation, not a bad, it's great. It's going to be legendary. You watch, legendary in a positive way, I have to say. It's going to be legendary, but I really.
So why'd you back off the reciprocal tariffs, Don? And this, I think, you know, sometimes Donald Trump stumbles around and actually says the quiet part out loud. Cut 14.
In the history of our country. And don't let some of these politicians go around saying, you know, because I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, sir. And then I'll see some rebel Republican, you know, some guy that wants to grandstand, say, I think that Congress should take over negotiations. Let me tell you, you don't negotiate like I negotiate.
Except you didn't negotiate with anybody and you just pulled all the reciprocal tariffs back off. I mean, is anybody buying any of this anymore? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What do you make of the Trump flop, the Trump terror of tariffs, but maybe not, but sort of, but what? Let's go to our good friend, Tom in L.A. Tom, welcome back to the show. What do you have to say, sir?
Oh, Maggie, first off, I guess there is no consistency in terms of what's going on. Also, you know, the Republicans usually would fall over in their seat or fall off their fainting couch if they heard, you know, someone curse on the TV. I mean, it's almost like, you know, what about the children is what they normally would say if something like that happened. I wanted to ask you a question, though. When it comes to, I am a mom and pop type small business. I am not a small business that's, you know, the big corporate businesses. I am also, when I think about family farms, I think there are family farms that are mom and pop farmers, and then there's also CAFOs, and the CAFOs mm-hmm. are really, really destroying the industry. How is it that we can somehow, when we communicate about these issues, do it in a way that distinguishes the difference between the two types of entities? Because it seems to me like they always, you know, when they say, oh, small business, job creators, blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about, you know, some company has 200, 300 employees in it. I don't know what the answer is on it. I was hoping maybe that you might come up with something, except for, like I said, I call it mom and pop or independent retailers or family farms. But even the family farms are being bought out by the CAFOs. And then there's still, you know, getting it just everything is so confusing and deceptive in the language that is used out there. Even Donald Trump with these tariffs, one day if he's in a good mood, it's this way. One day bad mood, it's this way. What do they say? They don't like uncertainty in the marketplace. Well, he's Mr. Uncertain himself. So just I wanted to ask you on those two questions.
Fair enough.
What you think.
Yeah, these are really great points, Tom. And fascinatingly enough, I was listening to a discussion today between a philosopher and a linguist. Don't turn the channel yet. And they were talking about the use of language. Now, they were having a discussion of it in terms of people talk about DEI, and my argument is most conservatives don't know what it is, and if they do, what they really mean is they want to use the N-word but don't want to actually use the N-word, so they use DEI. The language that we use matters, right? Because what is language? It is nothing more than a symbol for meaning. But if one word means something to one person and something entirely different to another, we're not literally not talking about the same thing. And when you couple that with what I'm going to call the tyranny of untruths, the consistency of lying that comes from Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, and the MAGA universe, it becomes incumbent upon us to actually take the time to try to understand the meaning of some of these words. And I think that it's a difficult burden, right? Because so much of our discourse today is lingoized. I consider myself an economist, but I criticize economists all the time. Quit speaking in code. It's not helpful if your lingo is so indecipherable that regular people can't understand it. So, Tom, I think part of the answer to your question is it becomes incumbent upon us to do more homework. And I'll also ask you all, the listeners, for this favor. And that is, if I explain something or I'm using language and you don't understand it and you don't think I've explained it well, or you think I'm wrong or I've forgotten a key fact, I always want to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Here's what I want to talk about specifically today with respect to this global trade war. Make no mistake, the trade war is on and it is raging and it is only going to get worse. And that is this: the single largest sovereign owner of U.S. debt, meaning a foreign country that owns a lot of U.S. debt, is China. And it is China by leaps and bounds. And one of the things that started to happen over the last day and a half, was extraordinary volatility in the U.S. bond market, specifically the price of U.S. treasuries, as well as the yields. Now, you don't have to know anything about bond yields or the pricing of U.S. treasuries for me to explain to you, when we come back after we take care of a little bit of business, why this is deeply concerning. It is my opinion as a lawyer and as an economist that the reason that Donald Trump blinked today, Mr. Expert Negotiator, decided not to negotiate with all those people that were, by his words, kissing his butt, is because of what has been going on with U.S. treasuries, as well as the price of crude oil. And you don't have to be an economist to understand it, though everybody that's listening has got one. To explain it all to you next, my name is Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer, lady, and economist right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. What the U.S. Treasury prices and yields, you don't have to know what it is, are telling us about the power of China over the U.S. economy and ultimately how far your family's pocketbook goes. We discuss next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't worry, you can take me anywhere that you are. Just download the Civic Media app for free wherever you get your apps and pick your favorite home station. I come to you from 540 AM WAUK here in southeastern Wisconsin. But again, we go out across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network from Rhinelander to Richland Center. Again, we've got you covered all day long for what is real news and great conversation. I am talking about the terror of Donald Trump's tariffs. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to point out, and I'm going to get to what is happening with U.S. treasuries and the fact that I think that that is one of the key causes, along with the price of crude oil on a per barrel basis, that caused Donald Trump to effectively completely abandon ship and reverse course and get rid of the reciprocal tariffs, which, just in case anybody was keeping track of what he said about these, he said this very recently. To any company that objects to our common sense reciprocal tariffs, again, reciprocal back and forth, and we would. I call this kind reciprocal. This is not full reciprocal. This is kind reciprocal. If anybody else on the planet other than Donald Trump wrote you a letter or spoke to you like this, you would immediately conclude that they have no idea what they're talking about. Well, that is Donald Trump. He has no idea what he was talking about. And if you want to go back to Ronald Reagan, who explained why tariffs are bad, you want to look at Rand Paul that explains why tariffs are bad. It's all there for the pickings. But I'd like to refer to a perhaps more widely known source, a little film called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Cal, let's take a listen to Cut 22.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone, the Great Depression, passed the, anyone, a tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which, anyone, raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression.
A movie understands tariffs better than Donald Trump does, and it is causing real economic pain. We haven't even begun to feel the impacts of any of this yet. If you think you're feeling it, just wait. The real pain is coming. Cam from Appleton, thanks for your patience, friend. What would you like to say this afternoon?
Not that anyone is going to remember this, but my parents almost named me Ferris, and they thought I was going to get beat up at the school bus, so they decided to go with Cameron, and that is completely true.
You mean Ferris's best friend, Cameron?
Yes. Sorry. The other ironic thing with that scene is that Ben Stein, the teacher that was talking during that scene, is a MAGA evangelic. He's kind of a nutcase. So he's probably out there today, even though he's the one that read those lines. He's the one that's probably jumping around saying, yeah, let's keep going. Let's do whatever Trump wants. It makes no sense, and I'm pretty sure Trump is just into financial domination at this point because he is doing stuff that's really hurting us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Cam. Again, if you look at the explainers of Donald Trump wanting to exert power, amassing power, feeding his ego, that explains it. If you look at Donald Trump trying to enrich himself, move the burdens of funding government operations in any meaningful way, shape, or form from billionaires and the wealthiest corporations more and more and more onto the backs of working people, that's what you see here. And again, there has been something that has been going on with both oil prices and U.S. treasuries that is extremely concerning. Because while Donald Trump blinked today about reciprocal tariffs and said, well, okay, we'll actually put a 90-day pause on this, and we've all heard this before with Canada and Mexico, and then he did them, and then he increased them, and now more, and who knows what's going to happen? The markets certainly don't. While he paused reciprocal tariffs for the entire world, he exempted China. And China shows no intention of backing down from a trade war. The two largest economies in this world are China and the United States. So what is a U.S. Treasury? A U.S. Treasury is a bond that the U.S. government issues. What is a bond? A bond is debt. It is if the U.S. government borrows from those who wish to purchase U.S. government bonds or treasuries. So when you look in the world and you look at and you identify the foreign government that owns the most U.S. debt, it's China. And while it is typically the case that in a recession or in the period of time leading up to a recession, in moments of great market volatility and uncertainty, which clearly describes today, just ask Jamie Dimon, or anyone on Wall Street, what you typically see is a rush to purchase, a rush for certainty in the market, whether it's institutions or individual investors, a rush to purchase U.S. treasuries, which are considered as good as gold, that the U.S. will always pay on its debt obligations. This is why the debt ceiling debate is a stupid one. And so that's really incredibly important. When we are in pre-recession or recessionary periods, typically you see the market move towards treasuries, the demand for treasuries increasing. Except we haven't been seeing that since Donald Trump's terror of tariffs has taken hold of the world economy. There are a couple of critical reasons for that. We're also seeing some incredibly wild things going on with the price of crude oil per barrel. I'm going to tell you why this is a risk for you and your family's economic health when we return. We continue this discussion of Donald Trump's terror of tariffs after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You've got your farm update with Pam Yonke next, and then I'll be back. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're just rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I wanted to share with you two things that are happening in the marketplace. And I want to make sure that I explain these things not as an economist, but as just a regular person, because they are deeply concerning. The largest single owner of U.S. debt in the world is the nation of China. So while Donald Trump may have blinked today and said, okay, we'll put the reciprocal tariffs on pause, the trade war with China is, if anything, accelerating. I am extremely concerned about this because typically, as an economy contracts or growth is slowing or we look like we're heading into a recession or there's extraordinary volatility, what you'll see is that people want to buy U.S. debt. Why? Because it's as good as gold. You can rely on it. It is a safe investment. But what we've seen over the last couple of days is Treasury prices, U.S. bonds, did a small uptick. But they have started to go down and yields are now over 5%. What does this mean? It means that the market is perceiving weakness in U.S. treasuries. And I don't mean weakness. I mean, the market's saying, I don't know if we can rely on U.S. treasuries. That's thing one. Thing two is that China could place us into an even worse situation if China starts offloading and selling, flooding the market with U.S. bonds. Of course, if an enormous supply of U.S. bonds is released into the marketplace, the overall price of those things, of U.S. treasuries and debt, will go down. This is not good. In addition, what has gone on in the last couple of days with respect to the price of crude oil per barrel, volatility doesn't even really describe it. Now, we can say what we want about wanting cheap gas, and we can say what we want about needing to move away from fossil fuels and into greater renewable energies. All of that is true. But it is also true that huge swaths of our economy are in many ways dependent on at least a somewhat stable crude oil per barrel price. And we have seen anything but that. In just days, crude oil has gone from over $72 a barrel down to nearly $55, up to $60. Taking the price of crude oil and what is going on in the U.S. bond markets together, what does this show? It shows that the U.S. is no longer the world's leading economy. It's showing that we have less power, not more. And that worldwide investors, including big institutions and individuals, are no longer going to be looking to the United States. This, all else being equal or even not, is never going to be better for middle-class workers. The less power we have in the global economy, the more vulnerable the United States is. So for all of Donald Trump's bluster and BS, all of this is making America more isolated, less trustworthy, and less powerful in the world economy. And guess who pays the highest price, both literally and figuratively, when the U.S.'s influence in the world economy goes down, when investors trust us less? Billionaires may make fewer billions, but it is the middle class and working people that will feel the greatest amount of pain. And as if that wasn't enough, Donald Trump on Monday night had the audacity to advocate for pharmaceutical tariffs. Cal, can you please play cut 15?
But we're going to tariff our pharmaceuticals. And once we do that, they're going to come rushing back into our country because we're the big market. The advantage we have over everybody is that we're the big market. So we're going to be announcing very shortly a major tariff on pharmaceuticals. And when they hear that, they will leave China. They will leave other places because they have to sell. Most of their product is sold here. But we're going to tariff.
No. Two-thirds of U.S. pharmaceuticals, two-thirds of name brand drugs and 80% of generic drugs are manufactured, that we consume, are manufactured outside the U.S. So if you are a person living on a fixed income, if you are a senior citizen living off of Medicare and Medicaid, if you require expensive medication for your kids, are you okay with medication getting more expensive and not less? I forgot the portion of Donald Trump's campaign platform that said, don't worry, I'll make sure your prescription drugs cost even more. Yeah, because he didn't. And oh, by the way, lest you forget, Donald Trump on Inauguration Day signed an executive order that ended the Biden administration's effort to further lower the cost of prescription drugs for people on Medicare and Medicaid. One of those canceled policies included Medicare, a directive to Medicare to investigate ways to slash drug costs, including the feasibility of a $2 monthly out-of-pocket cap on some generic medications. Yeah, Donald Trump, bonk! That's gone. Also, he nixed a policy that gave uninsured adults in 36 states an extra 12 weeks to sign up for insurance coverage. So yeah, your medication is going to get much more expensive. Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast. I hope I can hear you. Can you hear me, Bob? Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Maggie. Yes, yesterday you talked about the cutting of the budget for distributing food to the poor around the world. If we wanted to donate and cover that problem partially, how do we do that?
Yeah, Bob, that's a great question. Let me get some resources together of specific organizations. I know, for example, the Hunger Task Force here locally is incredibly, incredibly effective. We actually have a guest slated next week. We'll talk more about that then. But on a global basis, Oxfam International, Bob, is an incredible organization. They not only are essential to getting food to folks that need it globally, but they also have incredible research into food insecurity worldwide. Thank you so much for such an important question. Jean from Eau Claire, you're up next. What do you have to say, Jean?
A psychotic type individual that's out of control. He sings songs, he changes his mind, he's delusional. Oh, they're going to come to us. Oh, everybody's begging to make a deal. Oh, yeah, now where are they? And where did you see these faces? And where did you hear these voices? I mean, I don't get it. But gal darn it, those Republicans in office there in the Senate and the House need to get their stuff together. And I hope everybody contacts them, because we can't keep going on like this. It's chaotic. It doesn't make sense. And it's significantly hurting our country. So I just wanted to give my two cents worth. Thank you for letting me have a voice here. And keep up the great work, Maggie. Bye.
Thanks, Jean. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Conservative Bob on the text line saying, what, Maggie, you don't see a problem with all of our medications being made outside of the country? He's trying to get those companies back. Conservative Bob, we can have a very important discussion about whether and how expensive it would be to have more pharmaceuticals manufactured in this country. But pharmaceuticals, like healthcare, are a necessity for people to stay alive. And using, frankly, garbage theories like tariffs are going to magically bring pharmaceutical companies back, which is a dubious proposition at best, disputed by most economists of any worth. Is Donald Trump completely okay with people dying in the interim because they can't afford their medication? If I take your premise, Conservative Bob, and I say we should use some kind of tariffs to get pharmaceutical companies to come back, the next thing out of Donald Trump's mouth should be, and here's what I'm doing to control pharmaceutical price costs while I endeavor to bring pharmaceutical manufacturing back to the United States. But he doesn't say that. In fact, I mentioned his executive order because he's doing exactly the opposite. Pharmaceutical companies, huge donors. Those are his billionaire bros. He's not interested in bringing pharmaceutical companies back. He's interested in his own power and his own wealth. So he's completely fine with people dying in this country if they can't get the drugs that they need. Floating such a proposal in offhanded comments at a Republican fundraising dinner, Conservative Bob, is not only immoral. Yes, I said immoral. It is disgusting and should shock the conscience. I will leave reasoned discussions with people of good faith about what to do to make pharmaceutical prices more affordable for Americans to another day, because that is not what Donald Trump's proposed tariffs on pharmaceuticals is. It is neither in good faith, nor is it in the best interest of Americans. And I'm angered that he would float something like that out there so unthinkingly. And oh, by the way, Conservative Bob, I really thank you for your engagement. Those are important questions, and I hope you don't mind taking them up in this way and addressing them. I wanted to mention to each and every one of you, we're going to take some more calls here in a moment, 855-752-4842. In case you thought there was some method to the Trump madness, that someone was actually, you know, whipping out a calculator and trying to figure out what a reasonable tariff rate was, that's all a pack of lies and garbage as well. One of the economists who has been cited by Donald Trump as the economist on who the Trump administration's tariff calculations were based, his work, is a guy by the name of Brent Neiman. And he was cited. One of his papers with other economists was cited by the Trump administration. He used the work of these economists to calculate the tariffs. Well, he published a piece in the New York Times that said, no, they didn't pay any homage or even roughly follow the work of me and my fellow economists. And what they did makes no sense at all and is a complete and total utter joke. So, yeah. There is no rhyme or reason here. None of it makes any sense. Tim from Eau Claire, you're up.
Yeah. What I'd like to see, and you're going to probably say you're crazy, now that he said he's pulled these tariffs off, I'd like to see the rest of the world say, well, guess what? We're keeping ours on. We're tired of playing this game with you. Live with it.
Yeah, Tim, that is an approach. Here's what I don't quite get is where Donald Trump actually thinks the leverage is coming from. Chaos theory doesn't create long-term or even medium-term negotiating leverage, right? People, I've asked this question of some of the foreign policy experts I've had on, as well as economic experts. It's like, how do you negotiate with a crazy person? Answer, you don't. How do you negotiate with someone who just stirs up chaos and seems to change policy at the drop of a hat? You don't, because you cannot rely on a damn thing that they're saying. So Tim from Eau Claire, I actually think that some of our trading partners may be less inclined to pull back tariffs because of Donald Trump's chaos, inconsistency, and craziness. You're not completely off base, my friend. Kurt from Madison, we're going to have to hold you until we take care of these brief messages. And folks, it is Wednesday, and I like to always share a bit of good news and a little bit I like to call over the hump in Trump. I do have some of that positive good news for you. It doesn't quite get us away from politics, but again, I think is a silver lining on the cloud that has been this week in American economics. Kurt, you're on the line. Folks, you can join us as well. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. New callers, conservatives, women, you go to the front of the line. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in. We got the last segment of the day, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We now have Elon Musk calling Peter Navarro dumber than a sack of bricks, truly a moron, and Peter, and then a play on his last name that uses a derogatory term for people with learning disabilities and doubling down on it. Peter Navarro, of course, Donald Trump's top trade advisor. Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. So a little bit of tension there. Dale Kuyenga put an interesting post up on LinkedIn. He is the current president and CEO of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. He's a Republican. He's a retired U.S. Army officer. Long post on LinkedIn yesterday, basically saying, this is bad. He talked to 75 local CEOs. They're all saying, this is bad. What Trump is doing is bad. I will, in detail tomorrow, debunk all of the individual lies that have been told by Donald Trump about the tariff calculations, largely based on work by Brent Neiman and some of his fellow economists. I'll go through that tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. I got a special guest to do that. Tom Paulswitz is on a break this week. We've got some other excellent guests for you. I also wanted to give some love to Josh from Oshkosh texting in. He's pointing out, it's this thing called the Triffin Dilemma. If you don't know what that is, you can go ahead and Google it. It goes back to the time when the U.S. dollar actually used to be pegged to gold. We called it literally the gold standard for a reason. And he's talking about the tension between the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency and the fact that we generally run consumer goods trade deficits, and the fact that it's extremely difficult to try to get away from trade deficits, which are not inherently a bad thing. That's another lie that Donald Trump tells you. Do you have a trade deficit with your barber? because he doesn't buy anything from you? No, he simply is a service or a good that you want and you buy it and he doesn't buy anything from you. That's what it is. When you try to get rid of trade deficits and you are the world's reserve currency, you can't really do both. Again, that's why we're seeing this volatility and these bad indicators in the bond market. Thank you, Josh from Oshkosh. I love some nerdy economics to share and explain with all of you on the lines. Jennifer from Wisconsin Rapids, she's got a comment. We've been in the world market for a couple of decades, more globalization. Trump appears to be stuck in the 90s in his glorious dementia years. I would say Donald Trump is stuck in the 30s, in the Gilded Age. And the time leading up to the Great Depression, where we had robber barons and had to then enact the Sherman Antitrust Act to avoid the exploitation of labor, where we didn't have child labor laws or OSHA and people died on the job and worked 7 days a week, 20 hours a day. Roger from Stevens Point giving me a little fun baseball trivia. We'll put that one in the Hopper. Lori from Hayward asking, does Social Security have a fund set aside? Short answer, no. It is a pay-as-you-go system that has always made good on its payments. There is a bit of a tipping point coming. Here's a solution if you want to talk about the funding of Social Security. Scrap the cap. Once you make $176,000, the money that you earn and income above that doesn't get hit with the Social Security tax. How about we remove the taxation of every dollar earned under $176,000 a year and just tax all the income over $176,000 a year? That will help fund Social Security. Kurt from Madison, I promised you a shot at it. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, as a retired engineer of 30-plus years, I can let everybody know that to build a facility and get it set up, operational, even with automation, as my last job was building robotic systems, it is extremely, extremely expensive. It takes a ton of money and a ton of planning, and that doesn't even include hiring all the people that you need to do the work. So this idea that companies are going to simply forgo their investments and their capital money they've spent overseas and just come dancing back to the United States, it's not going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah, it's utter and complete nonsense, Kurt. Here's the other thing. We do not have enough people in our country to actually fill all of those jobs, even if we had a magic wand to bring all of those manufacturers back tomorrow. Don't have enough people. We have those manufacturing plants have moved overseas because it is cheaper to make the goods over there. So everything's going to get more expensive. Labor costs more here in the United States. I think it doesn't cost quite enough. We need a universal, actual, sustainable wage. None of that's going to make anything cheaper for Americans. Here's what, everybody. Brass tacks here. At the end of the day, this stuff is complicated. And anybody who gives you one-liners about tariffs are going to make us all rich again, anybody who tells you they have the one thing that is a panacea for all of these problems is a liar, liar, pants on fire. I've run out of time for Over the Hump and Trump. I will do it tomorrow. I will have a little bit of good news. Here's my last bit of good news because I only have a couple of seconds left here this afternoon. Thanks to everyone. Robert from West Dallas, Cam from Appleton, all of you on the text line, Lori from Hayward, Roger from Stevens Point. Here's my good bit of news. The Associated Press are getting their press credentials for the White House press briefing room back. Remember why they got them yanked in the first place? Yeah, because they refused to call it the Gulf of America. Federal judge ruled late last night that the AP gets its creds back. That's a bit of good news this week. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for informed economic policy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.